Now, this is verse 23, chapter 4, Daniel. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord. Now, you see, the tree represents Nebuchadnezzar. He is to be cut off, but not totally rejected. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is to live with and like the beast of the fields, where he won't even recognize who he is. And I'm reading on now, verse 25 and 26, that they shall drive thee from man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now, he makes it clear here why this dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar and why he is interpreting it and why he's going to have this experience. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up with pride, evidenced in the last chapter when he made this tremendous image and force all of mankind to fall down and worship him. This man is certainly filled with pride, and God now is going to humble him, and he's going to bring him out of the form of insanity that he has. Now, it's a functional form of insanity, and one that I say is common. There's a great deal of it today, of course, and we'll see how it is recognized. He was to be driven out of his palace, out to the pasture, and he'll take his abode with the oxen, and he'll forget what manner of man he is. Now, this is obviously a form of abnormality that's diagnosed by psychology today as hysteria. And some of the symptoms which are evident in Nebuchadnezzar can be distinguished, and they characterize this particular form of abnormality and the etiology of it. Many years ago, I studied abnormal psychology. Somebody asked me why to give it up, and I said I found out I had too many symptoms. You give up that study. And what you have in this, one of the symptoms, is excessive emotionalism. You see, it's a sort of a manic depressive psychosis. One moment the patient is joyful and friendly, and the next he's morose and antagonistic. It's a psychoneurosis. As someone has said, easy gloom, easy glow, and it's an up and down state. Now, many people have a slight form of it. You know people that they are moody at times, and another time they're very joyful. And I think that's true probably of a great many of us. Now, this is a real thing, though. I mean, there's reality to it just because it is functional and not structural. It wasn't because of, you know, something that he wasn't dropped on his head when he was a baby that caused him to be this way. I heard the whimsical little story about the woman who lived in an apartment house in a city and in a very densely populated area. And she went to a psychiatrist, and he wanted to know what her problem was. And she said, well, you know, at night I hear a rooster crowing. Says generally it's toward the morning. She said, now I was raised on the farm. I'd hear them there. But since I've lived in the city, I've never heard a rooster crow. And yet at night I'm hearing it toward morning, and I know there must be something wrong because I live in an apartment house. She began to take the treatment because the psychiatrist told her, said, you really got a problem. And so he had worked with her for about a month or two, and she didn't seem to get any better. She's still hearing. One night, her apartment house caught on fire. Everybody in the apartment went out. The man that lived right above her, he came out carrying a great big cage and a cover over it. And he stood there by her side as they watched the firemen putting out the fire. Finally, to make conversation, she said to him, what do you have in that cage? And he lifted the cover on it, and there was a rooster in there. And she just fainted dead away. And they brought her to and asked her, why in the world looking at a rooster? Well, she says, I've been going to a psychiatrist for over a month because I've been hearing a rooster crow each morning. Well, I want to tell you, her disease was real. She really heard a rooster crow. Now, this man here, he doesn't know who he is. And this is quite real. Now, this is a form of abnormality that, as I've said before, great many of the rulers of the earth have had. God says he sets over it the basis of rulers. And the very interesting thing is history's demonstrated that. And this man here is that type of a man. Now, another thing that characterizes, it's always a form of amnesia enters in. When it's extreme case, there are periods and the fellow doesn't know who he is. Well, that certainly characterized Nebuchadnezzar. I remember years ago when I was just a boy in Nashville, Tennessee. That's when that Nashville sound began. That hillbilly music was put out over the local radio station. And one of the announcers there periodically would disappear from the program and come back. He suffered apparently from this disease. He went out to a certain institution that dealt with abnormal people, and he spent time there because he could tell when this was coming on him, and during that period he didn't know who he was, and he'd come out of it, then he'd come back. And I was asking another announcer down there one day, I had a little program on the station, a little devotional program of a morning, I asked him what was the matter with him and what caused him to have that, and he says, well, when you have to listen to that hillbilly music all day, he said, it's apt to do something for you. Well, I don't think really it was the music. And it may be. We saw last chapter that Nebuchadnezzar had to listen to a lot of it, the Babylonian Beatles. And that, I'm sure, maybe turned him off. But anyway, there is another thing that identifies it. And that certainly is true in this man's case. And that is extreme egotism and pride. And it became an obsession with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we saw back from verses 4 through verse 10, he talks about I. He had a bad case of perpendicular ieitis. Now, pride is one of the things that God says he hates. And it is something that certainly characterizes man. Old Augustus, Caesar Augustus, said of a city that he captured, he says, I found it brick. I left it straw. He had destroyed it. And another Caesar made the statement that I found Rome wood and I left it marble. You see, pride is the besetting sin of the human family. And after all, what does man have to be proud of? Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 9:23. We've seen this before. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And you see, God's salvation rules out pride. That's one thing you can't have when you come to Christ for salvation. Paul could say, I determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that today we have nothing in which we can glory. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? And then in 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now God, as we've said, he says he hates pride, and it's number one on his hate parade, and you can check me on that in Proverbs 6:16-19. And it was said of our Lord, he humbled himself. Now, hysteria can manifest itself, as we've said, in amnesia. Those afflicted with this malady do not know who they are for a period of time. That's the reason that the old cliche about the man walking about the insane institution saying he's Napoleon. Well, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was an animal, and then this runs in cycles. Now, Nebuchadnezzar went through a cycle of 7 years. Now I'm reading verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. You see, this man is disturbed within his own heart. There's no peace. He brought peace to the world because there's nobody to fight him at this particular time. And he was living in sin. And the thing, you're to repent of your sins, turn from them, and turn to righteousness, turn to God, and begin to demonstrate with your life by doing things that reveal you're God's child. And so Daniel advises Nebuchadnezzar, in light of this, therefore, to repent in order to reverse the judgment coming upon him. And there was hope of deliverance, you see. But you see, he could know the peace and tranquility of God. In other words, I think this was God's final warning to Nebuchadnezzar. And a great deal of abnormality today is actually a spiritual problem. Now, I don't say all is, because I know it's not. When there is a structural basis, not just functional, of course. That is, if you were dropped on your head when you're a baby, and that may explain your conduct. And that, of course, hasn't anything maybe to do with whether it's spiritual or not. But a great deal of that is, a great deal of the disturbed condition that men have today, it's abnormal. And there is peace for them. They would only come to Christ.